Welcome, everyone, to the Comedy Sports Podcast, starring your host, Christine Rolo Capriolo. And now, a man who needs no introduction. Just kidding. Tim, last of the Mohicans.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Comedy Sports Podcast. Today, I'm really excited. I've got an old friend of mine, Tim Higgins. Tim, thanks for coming today.
Thanks, Christine, for having me.
You're welcome. It's so nice to see you.
It's nice to see you, too. It's been a while.
It's been a long while.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to start off the show by asking people where you're from.
I am from Oak Creek, Wisconsin.
Oh. All right, little suburb of Milwaukee.
That's right. Right. Yes, just not South Milwaukee enough.
Right.
But it's close.
Okay. And when you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
The smart answer that I put in like a first grade book was older.
Older.
Yep.
You just wanted to be older.
I guess I wanted to be older. And that was like, oh, he's a little wise guy. So... I don't know. Probably an actor of some sort.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you're one of five kids.
Yes.
Right? You're the oldest boy.
Yes.
So what kind of kid were you in the family? Were you the funny one? Or was everybody the funny one?
Everybody was funny in their different ways.
Yeah?
I mean, yeah, definitely. My parents were great. My sister, like, through a certain age range, we hated each other.
You did?
Yes. Oh, my God.
You're like, what, 2 years apart?
Four.
Four. Oh,
she's 4 years my elder.
All right.
Yeah, we did not get along.
Really?
And then, not at all. And then she, like, all of a sudden, junior year of high school, when her high school career, she, like, the switch flipped. She's like, yeah, hang out. Yeah, come with me and my friends. We're going to walk around the mall together. I'm like, what?
And you were buds then.
And And she's basically who got me into improv.
Well, I was going to ask that because I've known you since high school. I'm a couple years older.
Yes.
But how did you hear of Comedy Sports? Or like I was a junior.
Mm-hmm.
And so my senior year, I was, I think, the captain of the high school league.
That is correct.
And you auditioned to be on the team. So I was a junior. You were a freshman auditioning. But how did you even know about Comedy Sports before that?
It was my sister. My sister went to Pius as well.
Yeah.
And she started playing Comedy Sports.
Did she?
For the high school league.
Okay.
I think her junior year or something like that. And so her junior and senior year, I went to go see her high school league shows.
Yeah.
At Cults.
At Cults. That's where I was too. Yeah. That's right. She was in it.
She was.
I have a terrible memory.
Yeah. She even took, she worked the ticket booth once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's my sister's fault
today. That we're sitting here today together. So then you found out there was this team at Pius and you wanted to audition.
Yep. Well, and the auditions weren't until the end of the year.
Right. So the end of your freshman year.
So
right.
I don't know if you remember. Me and Jason just like...
Jason Denizek.
During A Days.
Yeah.
When all the kids were playing their D&Ds and you'd be in the back of the union.
Yes.
And practicing.
Right.
And so we just were like, can we sit and we'll just watch?
You were little groupies.
Yeah, we were your groupies.
You were.
Yeah, was high class. But we even like went on shows. Like just, we were like, we geeked out so hard.
Well, because we were awesome.
Yes. You guys were great. I mean, it was you, Sandy Sykes, Chris Fredericks.
Todd Bishop.
Bill Bartell.
Jay Stallenwork came up with you. He was the next year.
Yeah.
Ann Kelscher. Laura Tice.
Yes. Now we're blending. That was. Those are three people that made it along with me.
With you.
At the audition.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay, right.
Yeah, so at the end of the year, we auditioned, and I didn't make the team. I made alternate.
You were an alternate.
You even remember.
Well, Allman didn't make the team at all.
Yeah, I know.
Brian Allman, we thought, was a little too big for his britches, so we decided he could wait another year. But Jason Denizek made it with his permed hair.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 90s.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perms and bowl cuts.
Yeah, it was great. He was a little cutie pants.
Yeah, and we made it.
Yeah.
And they got to do a show, I think, once. And then it was great because it was just me and Jason were the two underclassmen.
Yes.
We were sophomores and everybody else was seniors.
Right. So when we left, you guys took over.
Yeah.
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 And we got to build up like a whole new team.
Right.
And it was awesome. Carla Del Santo.
Beth Malewski.
Beth Malewski, yes. Who went on to, is doing amazing things.
Yeah.
And Aaron Drew. Tom Martin, Brian Allman.
Brian Allman.
We had to, hey. We were just like, he is great. Too big for his britches.
Too big for his britches.
Snarky little.
Nothing I wouldn't talented, say to his face. But the talent that oozed from him.
He's doing a really cool thing too.
Yeah.
But that's like, yeah.
That's a different story. So you did high school league.
Mm-hmm.
And then after high school, you went to school in Pasadena.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Now, also during high school leagues is when I actually started working for Comedy Sports.
Right. You started going down to Comedy Sports.
Yes.
In the new place, which isn't new. It's the old place. It's on Jefferson.
Yes.
Which isn't there anymore.
No.
But, so what were you doing there?
There was a meeting for like when the high school league started.
Mm-hmm.
Like if anybody's interested in doing some volunteer work during shows and stuff like that, come on down. And me and my friend Jason were the only two who showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay. You want to paying jobs? You want to just start working?
Yeah.
We're like, yeah.
Did you ballet park?
Yep. Okay. I started as a ballet parker, so I jumped and danced and twirled around cars.
I bet you looked beautiful in the
I did. Team. I
yeah.
did.
Yeah, you got great legs.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a great time. So I got to start taking like the workshops,
yes.
As well as the high school leagues and helping out the Dead Alewives.
Right.
So that's
like, and who taught you in workshops down there? Who do you remember?
My sophomore year, that my was senior, Cliff yeah. Bear.
Cliffy, he
Cliff
was our coach.
Bear,
that's right.
That guy. It was just a great job, and it was a lot of fun. And then when you left, they started having just everybody go to
the comedy sports place, yeah.
And that ended up being ran by. Bill Bartel,
it was
Todd
Bill and
Bishop,
Todd and Mark Redlich.
And Mark Redlich.
Right?
Yeah.
And then when you started, like you said, you were working down there then and got
yes.
to take the other workshops, not high school league, but who was, do you remember who taught?
John Poleznik
okay.
Taught the like the 101.
Yeah.
I've had a couple with Bo Johnson.
Nice.
Amazing, talented person. I think that was it.
Yeah.
It was like Poleznik was the guy that ran
right.
stuff.
Right. He did a lot back then.
Yeah. And then my senior year, we won the championship mm-hmm. for the high school leagues.
Sure.
And then the national tournament was in Milwaukee that summer.
Okay.
So we got to perform for the high school leagues because they started bringing other high school
league
championships.
That's right. That's when they brought high school league kids to the tournament.
Yeah.
Championship.
Yeah. So we got to perform for that. And as I was ballet parking,
yeah.
Dick Chudnow and Mike Rock. Came out and they're like, we need another person to play for this other team
because
they only have two people.
Yeah.
They're like, do you want to do this? I'm like, you want me? Who's going to jump in front of cars?
Who were your influences back then? Like in comedy, like were you studying comedy? Were you watching lots of stuff or were you just?
I loved, and still do love Warner Brothers cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Just my dad would play like Three Stooges, mm-hmm. Marx Brothers, just like the, he got into old time radio shows.
Yeah.
And so like really classic
okay.
Type stuff, real like slapsticky,
yeah.
like goofy comedy.
Right.
And that's what influenced me. And then the other people that I got to watch.
Right.
Like Bo Johnson, mm-hmm. Kurt Scholler. Many other people.
Right.
No need to see like Dan Harmon, Rob Schraub.
Right.
All like these brilliant people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God.
Well, the Alewives.
The Alewives.
We used to go all
Peter
the time.
Peter Alberts,
every week. Yeah,
Mundy
Peter.
Carter.
Right. To go see the Alewives every week was just such a blast.
Yep.
And yeah, they were incredible.
Exactly.
Well, now after high school then, like
yes.
I said, you went to Pasadena to study theater.
Yes.
Theater.
The only school that accepted me out of my audition process was out in Pasadena. Oh, I could have chosen New York if I wanted, but my sister lived out in Pasadena.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, I'm going to move out there, live with my sister, and do this thing. But also, like, when I found out that I was in that school,
yeah,
I started doing shows regularly at Comedy Sports.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, why?
Yeah.
Why even waste thousands and thousands of dollars just to, like, act when I'm doing what I wanted to do?
Right.
It's like, I'm doing Comedy Sports.
Yeah.
And that's a screw school.
Right.
But so many people are like, get out.
Go away.
Just, you have this chance. You're mm-hmm. young.
Do it.
It's like, if you come back, you come back.
Right.
And so I went.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was like 6 months after I graduated.
Okay.
Oh, also, my sister, maybe 2 weeks before I was moving out, she called me up and she's like, hey, I'm moving. I'm like, oh, cool. Where are we moving to? She's like, no, I'm moving to Chicago.
Oh, no.
I was like, but I'm supposed to be living with you out there. But she said, no, no, I got to move because this job opportunity. I'm like, oh, this is a bummer. So, yeah, I moved out with no support. Net, just like,
and you stayed out there about a year?
Yeah, year and a half, two school years.
Okay.
But I wasn't invited back
uh-huh.
for the second year of my acting school.
They're lost?
They're just like, and all my friends are like, appeal, fight for it. I'm like, no.
No, so, you were done.
Yeah, I was done. I was like, I got to get out of here. And so all my friends, a bunch of my friends, started going to school in Chicago.
Okay.
They went to DePaul, and so they're like, we have a couch. You can stay on our couch.
Okay.
And so I moved to Chicago, and then I couch surfed. I was like in four different parks in the span of 10 months.
Okay. And then what brought you back to Milwaukee?
I got to teach. They were like, get out of there, you bum. And I was like, ah, you remember me. And they're like, Tim Higgins, teach high school kids.
So you got the high school league job.
I got the high school league job. Bill and Todd and Mark were done by then. Yeah, they were in their sixth or seventh season of doing it. And they're like, yeah, we're done.
Okay.
Yep. And then I moved back here.
And started doing shows
and running the high school leagues. And then being told it's like, you're not going to be able to do enough shows to survive. So I had to get another job, which was clowning.
That's when you started clowning?
Yeah, yeah. Probably about
what year
a year
are we
or
at
two.
Right now?
I think like 2002.
Okay.
We blew through 96 through 98 was meh. Moved back here in 99.
Yes.
Yes. And that's when I started doing the high school leagues.
So what's your philosophy on teaching improv then?
Because
you've taught high school leagues, you've taught workshops for adults.
Yes, yes. Be honest. If you're like, this is too hard, I don't know what to think of. I mean, you get a suggestion.
Yeah.
Learn how to do reality well.
Yeah.
And then you can start tweaking reality.
Yeah.
And with Comedy Sports and all that stuff, the improv thing, since it's short form, I think short form just means you have already the hooks set for your scene to make it different.
Mm-hmm.
When in long form, it's just like, you're going to find the game
and
naturally, and you don't know who you are yet.
Yeah.
With Comedy Sports, it was awesome because it's like, okay, we're going to do this, and we know we're going to have to do it backwards.
Right.
At the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
So just do something fun. Don't sit there and have a podcast. Because it's like, switch.
And you're just talking backwards.
Yeah, and then you're just talking backwards. Yeah, I guess my philosophy is keep things simple.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest. If you don't know how to react to something mm-hmm. as a character, just how would you feel if somebody came up to you and did something crazy?
Right.
And this can all happen in a blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
You can be like, oh, this is how I normally react, and then just be like, no, you can do the opposite. See how that goes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and then you do it. And
well, now you've always been extremely comfortable on stage. Whenever we've performed together, you just have...
No shame?
Such a level of comfort and confidence on stage that is that's not, I don't think that's something you can teach. But do you feel like you've gone through stages? Like, I've been reflecting a lot on my stages in improv. It's kind of like stages of grief. I mean, I think you start, like when you start in high school and you start performing, I feel like it's like, you know, you want me. You want everyone to like me. Mm-hmm. I want to be everybody's favorite. Mm-hmm. Me. I want to be the funny one.
Yep.
But then now that like we've done this for 20 some years now, it's like, okay, like we just did a show together. I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, months ago. I don't remember when it was. Yeah. We guested in some show.
Yeah.
And I felt like there were just so many people. There's just too many people.
Yeah.
And so I reached the stage where I was like, I don't need to be up there. I'll just stand back and let these people go. Like, I just didn't care.
Yeah.
Because I just thought, why go and dominate? It doesn't need to be about me. I'm going to let these people go and shine. And do you feel like you've gone through stages of improv?
Definitely. When you're coming up with all these people, who are those big personalities?
Right.
I guess I was fortunate to have to perform with these people who are just enormous on the stage.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're like, well, I'm going to fit myself in here. I'm going to support this. I'm going to support that.
Yeah.
It took a while just to be like, no, you know what? I don't need to be the through story for this scene or whatever. I just want to support.
Right. This, and that's something that a lot of people don't seem to get to. They stay in, like, they want to be the number one. They refuse to support.
Yep.
And then they end up crashing because they can't always be the star. Who can be a team player?
Who can be a team player?
It's really a team player.
But also, you do need that step forward, like, if it's definitely needed. If everybody's like, it's like, oh, I only support. It's like, we have a team of supporters here. It's somebody's got to get up there and, like, do something.
Right. So I want to talk about Last of the Mo.
Oh, okay.
Where did your nickname come from, and how many nicknames have you had?
I don't remember all of my nicknames.
Okay.
Because Last of the Mo kind of just washed out. Like, probably the last 10 years or something like that of my comedy sports life has been Last of the Mo.
Okay.
And that's because one summer, there were a few summers that, like, everybody just had days free. And we'd just go and play volleyball.
Play volleyball at South Shore Beach, I remember.
Just sand volleyball.
Yes.
Every day.
Yeah.
And
I was terrible at it. And that pissed off, like, Dylan and Eric because they actually took it seriously. And I'd be like, la, la, la. They hated me on their team.
Yeah.
It's like picking dandelions.
But when I had thick, luxurious hair...
I
had a mohawk.
Yes.
For a few summers, or like a summer.
Yeah, I remember.
And like the day after I got that haircut, we were playing volleyball, and Bo Johnson was like, "Nice haircut." Yeah, it's like Last of the Mohigans. And I'm like, "Oh my God."
That was it.
That's it.
It was Bo Johnson.
Bo Johnson.
Really?
Bo Johnson is the reason why I changed my nickname to Last of the Mo.
Well, before we talk about you leaving comedy sports, talk about the Midnight Show. You started that in 2001.
September of 2001.
And it was, God, that was a long time ago. It was Joe Cortezi. Eric Price.
Me, Eric Price, Dylan Bolin, Bill Bartel.
That was it, five,
the
right?
First five. Yeah, I think. Emmy, right?
Yeah. And so what was the goal of this show? What were you guys doing? I mean, it was almost Alewives-esque, where there's always kind of been this late night group from Comedy Sports that does kind of a blue show, a different show.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
There was a moment where, like, just the ebb and flow of people going to shows and not going to shows and seasons. It's like, you'll have more people in the cold months because they want to be indoors and you'll have less people in this. So it was just another way to use a stage that would just be empty without it. So,
and it was more long form.
We call it a healthy blend. We figured this out years ago. It's short and long form, or we coined the phrase schlong form.
Schlong form. That's nice.
But it was to have, like, it's a late night show. We want it for 18 and older so college kids can come and not worry about it. It's like, oh, the show is at this bar. We can't go in and stuff like that. So, and make it affordable. Like a cheap like hour or so long.
Yeah.
Like midnight show.
And you threw out the brown bag
foul. There wasn't, we take any suggestion and you find out how like late night people can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to let it out.
Yeah.
Just to, it's like, okay, we're all under these, like, you have to do this and you can't say no and this, that, and the other thing. It's like, okay, you can say no if there's a purpose. Uh-uh. But just to have a show that people can say whatever they want.
Yeah.
And we started like every other week.
Mm-hmm.
And that only lasted maybe 2 months.
Yeah. Because we're doing it every week then.
Yeah. Because we'd had to turn people away.
Yeah.
We had Dylan Bolin and Eric Price and Joe and Bill and myself. It's like very talented people. Mm-hmm. And we just worked very well together. And so word spread. It's like we go out and flyer the crap out of the town and stuff like that. And it started becoming very popular. And like, hey, what if we did this every Saturday? Would you still do this? People are like, because you never want to start a show and then oversaturate it. And
it's just like, well, it got so popular, though.
Yeah.
Very quickly. Yeah. And it was called Cock and Toast.
Not originally. Right? It was a late show.
Okay.
And then we did a dumb thing. It's like, we're going to have the crowd vote on our name. Yeah. And they, of course, they voted on dog balls. So we were dog balls for a short period of time.
Black that out of our memory.
Well, no, because it just comes to mind so quick. and then just free word association type thing. Brian Allman, who we added on a little bit later. It's just like Cock and Toast. It's like, oh, that's disgusting. He's like, no, like a rooster. And so we're like, yeah, we called ourselves that. Then we found out it's like, oh, we don't want the word cock on our like bulletin boards and coffee shops and stuff like that. So then it just evolved into the midnight show.
Okay. Now, when you no longer do comedy sports, you've kind of taken a pause.
I would say. Who knows?
Everybody comes back.
See, I already came back.
I know you did. You had this countdown. Away. You left and now you're back with Midnight Show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, throughout your improv, you did some stand-up.
Yes.
And now you're doing some plays.
Yeah.
And you've even done a movie.
Yes. That's all this crazy stuff. That is through improv.
Yeah.
All these opportunities that have come up have been through teaching.
Yeah.
Because you do form a relationship with some students and stuff like that. And it's just like, okay, you're really good. And they're inspired and all these things. And then you find out that they have all this other stuff. And it's like, oh, we make short little films. It's like, you'd be great for this. And so I made a video called Pass Me a Beer.
That's right.
And just it's people, two people throwing beers to each other with slingshots and trampolines and t-shirt launchers. And that was all due to me knowing the guy who thought of that idea.
Yeah.
I taught high school leagues.
Okay.
He was in the high school leagues when I ran it. And then years later, he took regular workshops, and I was teaching them as well. And then now it's like these are really dear friends of mine.
Yeah.
And they're doing all these cool things. Yeah. And they're like, oh, this guy would be perfect for this crazy character and this, that, and the other thing. So improv and being positive about it and like being able to like connect with certain people have helped. Like you remember those people.
Right.
And so I did a short film where I was a bounce house operator firing a guy who has a thumb for a head.
of course.
And then that guy's instructor
for
the class, months later, this guy's like, I'm doing this feature length film and I'd like to send you this script and check it out. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be like this crazy fish bait, like bait shop owner or something like that. But it ends up being a art house thriller horror paranormal esque romance comedy man.
Really?
Yeah,
And that's the one with Boswick?
Yeah, Barry Bostwick. Yeah. And I read it, and I'm like, this is a really interesting the script.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, yeah, I liked it. I liked the script. And they're like, yeah, we want you to perform like Ben.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute, that's like the main guy. And it's just like, this is not a crazy, short, funny part and stuff like that. And he's like, no. I just saw something in you, and you're like, you're gonna do great. And that's all because of like me teaching some people who had other ideas and like other skills and stuff like that. And it's all through comedy sports.
Yeah.
It's all through improv and being able to work with each other.
Right.
And just know like a good support system and no BS.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, it took me 42 years.
Well, what would be some advice you'd give to someone just starting off?
Have fun.
Yeah,
for you're sure. doing this like public speaking.
Yeah.
This, that, or the other thing. You just you want to get out of your shell. Just have fun with it. Go there for you.
Yeah.
And just if you are going to say it's like, no, I'm good enough, and I am going to be a professional and stuff like that, allow your skills to show that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you work well with each other, you don't, it's like, you're going to have your times and moments to shine. It's going to be obvious.
Yeah.
And as long as you can just like maintain like a level head and be there to support as well as to shine through that.
Right.
That is, go with that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like, no, money. It's like, don't.
Yeah.
Because I could, no.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely do. Yeah, I don't do improv for pay anymore.
Yeah.
For the most part. No, I do get some money for the midnight show.
Right.
But Voyager, still.
No.
No.
You'll be back at Comedy Sports, you think?
Don't know. I really don't know.
I started coming back and you left.
Everybody.
It was me, right?
Christine, I didn't. I guess we're going to open this up. Yes, it was you. I'm like, who's on that roster?
What's your favorite comedy sports game?
My favorite comedy sports game? Oh, man. I really like Naive Replay.
Yeah.
And Forward Reverse.
I love Forward Reverse. That's my favorite.
It's
like the first one you learn, like the first scene game you learn is Forward Reverse.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so just basic and wonderful.
But it teaches you, it's like start in the middle.
Yeah. And listen.
And listen.
Listen. And do something. Have an
activity and do something. Move.
Don't just stand there.
Don't podcast.
I think you're insulting me.
No. This would be a boring.
Scene on stage.
Exactly.
Yes.
So terrible. And now, and then the ref just woke up and now he's going to yell switch.
Switch. No, we have and to do I've this forgotten. Whole thing backwards. I remember learning in Forward Reverse in particular. When you say something, do an action with it.
Yep.
So you, when you go backwards, you can remember not just what you said, but the action will remind you of what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And that was genius.
Memory games.
I know.
Crazy.
Well, and do you notice as we get older, your memory is shot? Is it just me? Okay.
It depends. It really depends.
My memory is shot. I used to be able to guess for six things really well, or like a sideline debate.
Oh.
And now when I'm up there, I can't remember the word I just said. It's terrible.
Oh, that's bad.
It's bad. Like
you're getting memento bad.
It's really bad.
Oh, my goodness.
So I don't even think I can guess anymore.
Crossword puzzles.
I've tried those.
Get with it.
But I keep forgetting to do them. I have all these crossword puzzle books at home.
What is this pencil in my hand for?
Pick two puzzle. Of these pieces of paper.
Okay.
These are games, comedy sports games.
Okay.
I want you to pick two and tell me which one you'd rather play and why.
Okay.
We're in the game portion.
All right. I got you.
What do you got?
All right. Shopping spree.
That's a good one. Another guessing game.
And blind line. Oh, my God.
Those are good.
Those are both amazing games.
Talk about them.
Okay. Blind line is just awesome.
Yes.
Because, well, you want to have a good scene and know your characters and stuff like that, but to pick up a line and inject it immediately into the scene and Well, like when I would explain it as a referee, I would say two things will happen. Either A, it'll take the scene in a brand new weird direction,
right.
Or B, it'll be really creepy and fit. Right. It'll just be the perfect thing to say in that moment. And that happens more often than you'd
think.
Weird
how often it happens. Yeah. Sometimes the whole scene is just fluid. It's perfect.
Yeah. And it's like, and only after a while do you, once you play it for years and decades and stuff like that, how you say a line, like you could have a word. It's just like, I ate fish today and all that stuff. But it's like, if you put a different intonation on it, it's like, no, I ate fish today. And I love it. Yeah, Blind Line is just fun. And you can start it out like almost silent tension style.
Totally.
So you don't get a suggestion. The first suggestion or the first line you pick up starts the scene.
I feel like silent tension is not done anymore.
It's tough. Because
you have to have faith in you and your partner that you are going to be there for each other. And quite often you take the suggestion and boom, someone just yells out and starts right away.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, whoa, I didn't even get on stage yet. Mm-hmm. Like, hold on. Like, I think silent tension says a lot about your ability to just let things happen.
If people are just like, oh, we only have this much time. We got to rush through it. That's when in workshops I would say, oh, that's way too much time. Okay, stand up there.
Yeah.
Tell me when 30 seconds is passed.
Right.
And then they're just like, now. No, it's like, no, it's been 11.
Yeah.
Shopping spree. Shopping spree is so fun just to figure out what type of character would need a mahogany waffle iron.
Right.
Powered by gerbils once owned by Prince.
Right.
Just trying to create the characters that would need that.
Yeah.
And then also, if you're the shop owner, like how accessible are your wares?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this person obviously wants a car. Are cars right in the same room? Or do you have to go down into a deep vault?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Well, see, I love the way you think, though. Just saying, with shopping spree, what character would need this item?
Mm-hmm.
Not many people think that way. Yeah. Their first thought is, I just have to get them to guess this.
Yep.
But you are very good at coming in and being, like I said, you have this confidence and this comfort. And then you take it always deeper and a step further to think, no, I'm going to be a character who really needs this waffle iron.
Mm-hmm.
And within a split second, your brain can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you create this amazing character. I'm giving you compliments. I think you're a great performer.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I just didn't want to step over all these wonderful comments. Yeah. No, thank you. You know what? That actually, I have to blame my acting school for that.
Okay.
Because when I was in the acting school, they're just like, you had to find your backstory and your character and this, that, and the other thing. Where were you right before you stepped on the stage into this scene? It's just like, this is boring. Gah. And I felt like that middle school kid.
Yeah.
Just like, why can't we just act? So not until years later doing improv and like just like trying to keep it fresh for me.
Yeah.
Did I start using those exercises of like, where were you right before here? It's like your backstory. What kind of day were you having before you step into this shop?
Yeah, because if you know your character, even if it's a 4-minute scene or 2-minute scene or whatever, if you know your character in your head immediately, where you're from, what you just did, who you are, that comes across. Maybe that's it. That's where your confidence comes from, because you create these worlds quickly in your head. And that comes out, just like you said in Shopping Spree. What character would need that waffle maker?
Mm-hmm.
You would know immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the difference between a seasoned, experienced player and that newness of coming on and just wanting to be funny. And I just want them to guess it. Because we know it doesn't matter if they guess it.
Yeah.
It's the journey of getting there.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So which one would you rather play? Blind Line or Shopping Spree?
Cats. They're two.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got the
you
scenes
can play
or
both
the guessing.
Of these, you can play both of these games. I would do Blind Line.
Yeah. I thought you'd go for the scene. You're a good scene worker.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Pick two of these. This is our last game before we go. This okay. is the Would You Rather section. This is where we really get to know you, Tim.
Oh, nice.
Would you rather
get in a snowball fight against a major league pitcher?
Oh, that could hurt.
It could. Or be a human handkerchief. I'll go pitcher.
You're going to go the pitcher?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah?
You can't really get sick with getting hit by snowballs.
But the human handkerchief.
But the human handkerchief. I mean, some people are disgusting. And this guy looks miserable. Okay. I don't want to be miserable.
Tim.
I snot enough on myself.
You do. You're a snotty man.
I need the space.
Tim, it's impossible to be miserable around you.
Oh, you're crummy. Awesome. Come on.
I have a huge part of you in my heart. You're awesome. I love you.
Quick story. Yeah. Remember playing that catchphrase game?
Yes.
Like you have that word and you have to say everything.
Yes.
And the you guessed it. And we used a friend's name. I had to get you to guess something. And the clue was Dirty Cortezzi. And the answer was Sloppy Joe.
Sloppy Joe.
Sloppy Joe. It's like Filthy Cortezzi.
Sloppy Joe! Like, Sloppy Joe. I probably yelled it because I always yell in catchphrase. Yeah. I scream.
Yep. And I was just like, yeah.
Yeah.
See, because it's like
we've worked together so damn long. I know. And I want you to come back to sports. And I need to go back. I take so many breaks because I have little ones.
Yes.
But
adorable little ones.
Oh, thank you. They are precious. But we need to go back and do a show again.
We'd have to figure it out. I got to find out where, because I heard there were bets placed. On when I return.
Everybody returns. Everybody leaves and
comes
back.
Yeah, but I want to find out.
Can I win the bet? Because I'll tell you what my.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, find out who's in it, who wants to win. Let us take a cut.
Oh, well.
And then, yeah, we'll do a show with you.
Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
It was awesome talking to you.
This was awesome. Thank you very much.
What was super fun. Tim Higgins, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next time. The Comedy Sports Podcast is produced and engineered by Kyle Hannikin. Our announcer is PJ Rockwell. Feel free to like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Comments and inquiries can be sent to thecomedysportspodcast@gmail.com. Created and hosted by me, Christine Rolo Capriolo. Thanks for listening.
The Comedy Sports Podcast is an independent production made by CSC Players. The views and opinions expressed by the podcast host and any guests are their own and do not represent the views and opinions of any CSE location or CSE worldwide. Vocabulary used by the host and guests is not necessarily representative of the CSE brand.